You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
To the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Friday the 10th of February 2023, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. Friday is here, the weekend is just around the corner, and you will either be listening to this on your way home from work, or perhaps in your lunch hour, or maybe downloading it from the archive over the weekend. But we know why you're here today. You're here today to hear from my co-host, all the way from Texas, Grandpa Dan. Grandpa, how are you doing, sir? How is life treating you?
Things are great. That's right. All the way across the big pond. We're all the way across the big pond. We've got this dynamic. The listeners are probably catching on. We have this dynamic here on the Friday Daily National. Sven has a tendency towards transgender stories. But you see, I've got this thing with this Church of England thing. I have this whole, I like doing Church of England stories. Sven seems to like doing transgender stories. And see, for the uninitiated, they might think that would cause a conflict. But luckily for us, there's a lot of overlap here. So actually, it all works out in the end.
There certainly is a lot of overlap, isn't there, when you think of Bingo the Priest. And this week, again, we have another Church of England story, and this is to do with gender. The Church of England is considering scrapping centuries of religious teaching in order to give God gender-neutral pronouns. The Church, which is now headed by King Charles III, confirmed that its liturgical commission has launched a special project to examine updating future teachings. That's right. They think that they need to update the Christian teachings. It's not like Christ actually gave us the end of the teachings, gave us these teachings. Us humans, we can always improve upon what Christ has given us. That seems to be what the Church seems to be thinking now. I mean, why would you give God gender neutral pronouns? Didn't Christ refer to him as our Father? Didn't God create man in his image? Created he male and female? Created he them? This idea of giving God gender neutral pronouns, I mean, it just shows that their loyalty is to the modern world. The loyalty is not to Christian tradition. What do you make of this, Grandpa? I guess, what will they be calling God now? Mother? Father? Confused? Gender neutral? I don't even know what gender neutral pronouns would mean for addressing the Lord God. Grandpa, what do you make of this?
I guess it would be like they, them in heaven or or something. You know, you really kind of just hit on all the points yourself. I mean, I just kind of retouch on it, I guess, because with what I can add. And that is, you know, as the Church, and the real Church being Christian believers as a whole, because obviously the Church of England isn't an actual church. It's an organization, but it's not an actual church. But the Church was, as far as the community of Christian believers, it is a natural state of the Church that you're going to be in conflict with the world. That is the natural state. It's always been the history, and it will continue to be the history, that you will be in conflict with the world because the world has fallen. So, you know, the world goes chasing after all of these basically wicked things. So you're always going to be in conflict. Now, one of the things that's striking about these stories we do, the Church of England is so fun to pick on, is that they're the opposite of conflict with the world. As we go through these stories, and now we've got this latest one here where they're debating on giving God gender-neutral pronouns. How would this be any different than, say, a meeting talking about corporate policy or a meeting talking about a policy within a government agency? It's indistinguishable. It's perfectly in line with the narratives of the world. That right there Like if you're a new Christian or you're non-believer and you're observing these things from the outside, see, that's your first red flag dead giveaway that this, the Church of England isn't really a church. It's just an extension of the government, literally for the Church of England, because it is an extension of the government. But, you know, any church, it's just right in line with everything the world does. That right there, you can, like, if you were like a new believer and you're like, I got to figure out what church I want to start attending. You ought to attend the Parish of the Patriots, but never mind. If you wanted to go find a regular sticks and bricks church to go to and you're shopping around, I don't know what denomination I ought to go to. There's your red flag. If you look at a church and they're promoting all the exact same things that everyone else in the world is promoting, you could just go ahead. You just go ahead and pass that one up. It's like playing Monopoly and you just go pass those other properties. You know, you just don't even bother, because you're going to get the same thing at your church that you would get from watching the mainstream media or listening to government talking points.
Well, perhaps they're saying that God was born into the wrong body, or God was created as the wrong God, and there's some confusion there, and perhaps God needs an operation to conform the body to how his spirit was because he's been born into the wrong body. I just don't get why they need to change this. Some priests have already made such changes, trading references to he and him for simply God, or even they and them, and rewriting the Our Father that starts the Lord's Prayer to Our Father and Mother. One unidentified priest defended the updated language while conceding to the Times of London that critics think we're being a bit woke. He said, God is not male, certainly not the white cis male with a beard. Sitting on a cloud, we seem to reduce and limit God to so often, the Reverend Chantal Noppen also told the UK Times. What we have there is a female priest. So it's not really any surprise that a female priest is going to be wanting to do this and change the teachings of the church. I mean, they've already changed the teachings of the church to have a female priest in the first place. And she seems to be using atheist language here, isn't it? Which talks about people's image of God just being somebody far remote and sitting on a cloud. So I think there's an atheist influence here. But where she gets it from that God is not a white cis male, I just do not understand. God created all of creation, and all of creation procreates with a male and a female, not male with male, not female with female, but male with female. And isn't that what cis means? I mean, they say that God is not white either. I think they said that God made man in his image. I don't want to get too biblical here, but the man that was created was Adam, and that means to show blood in the face. That means to flush with blood in the face, to be able to blush. And Adam was made in the image of God. So everything that this Reverend Chantal Noppen is actually saying here, none of it is actually based on biblical teaching. None of it's based on Christian teaching. What it's based on is her own ideas. And what she's trying to do is she's trying to recreate God in her own image, isn't she? Rather than understanding that man was created in the image of God, she's trying to recreate God in the image of herself, by saying that God is neither male nor female, and trying to conform Christianity and trying to conform the church to this modern gender confusion that we have. I mean, it's bad enough that we have children that are confused about what gender they are without projecting that onto God and saying that God is confused about this as well. What do you make of what Chantal Noppen has to say here, Grandpa?
If you look up Chantal Noppen in your images, she looks just like you think she would look. I'm amazed. All these people literally look identical, with the purple dyed hair and the rainbow colors, all the glasses. I mean, it's just like there's a factory. There's a hidden factory somewhere that's producing these people. You know, we used to not have 10 years ago, we didn't have these people. And now they're everywhere, and they're in all these positions of apparent authority. You have to say the reverend in quotation marks. It's not a real reverend. That's a joke. This inversion, you see, you always spot. I talk about this all the time. This, you always can spot the inversion and the satanic nature of it. And we're doing a church story, so we can't help but to get a little religious with it. But bear with me. What they're trying to do is they're trying to take things and they're twisting around. She presents this false image from the beginning and says, see, God's not like that. And it's like, well, nobody really thinks he's like that. You know, God is not male. He's not this white cis male with a beard sitting on the cloud. Well, anybody over the age of 5 doesn't think that. So she presents this false thing and then proceeds to debunk it and says, I win. It's a dishonest argument from the start. And you can, it's just a pretty typical, it's a pretty typical pattern. And we're going to get into this as the story goes on. And because the whole story is filled with this word wizardry where they're trying to just twist things around and confuse people. This is important. Another important thing to realize, the average person, average Christian person that attends the church. And this is an important point. I think it may be the takeaway point for the story, doesn't have the time to study these things, doesn't have the time to really put into, I mean, dedicating themselves to understanding the things of the Lord and expanding in growth and knowledge. They don't. They're working their jobs. They're taking care of the families. They don't have time. That's why you're supposed to have church leaders to do that. They're supposed to be learning these things, and then they have to tell the people about them. The people can't know if somebody doesn't teach them. But see, there's no teachers. There's these people. The people don't have time, so it's their job. That's why in the Old Testament, God set aside the Levites. That was their job. They had one job, teach people, because the people were busy taking care of their flocks and doing their thing. They didn't have time to sit around and learn all of this and try to understand God. These people were supposed to do this and then explain it to the people so then they could go on and live the best lives that they could. And what they tried to do with their word wizardry, because I wanted to lay this out because, like I said, the whole story is laid out like this. Look, we all know that God is a spiritual being. You know, we know that God is a spiritual being. We know that when we leave this life, you know, we're going to have spiritual bodies. We're not going to have, you know, this same physical body. God is a spiritual being, and that is a fact. Well, they try to take that and twist it then to say, well, see, then you can't say God is male or female. See, that's not correct. As you've pointed out, Sven, God made man in his image. And really, I think when you get to the heart of that matter is you have to admit, which, of course, the world is not going to do, and I can guarantee you Chantel Knoppen is not going to do, is that the nature of man and the nature of woman are two different things. They have two different natures, two different tendencies. Anybody that's listening to this to that's married is like, yeah, no kidding. You know, I mean, your wife views the world and has these emotional reactions or whatever that are completely different from yours. Men have a tendency towards concepts like, you know, justice and truth and things like that. That's the things that men are focused on by their very nature, where women are more based on, you know, emotionalism and things such as this. God created man in his image. The main takeaway from that is the nature of man. Now, like I said, man's nature now is fallen because of the world. We have, you know, we fight against the sinful nature, but still at the heart, the tendency, the natural nature of man is made in the image of that of God. God's themes are what? Truth, justice, you know, life, righteousness. Those are the things of God, and man is created in that image. They're trying to twist this up to confuse people, which is the opposite of what the church is supposed to be doing. They're trying to purposely confuse the flock. They're trying to purposely confuse people with this deal of, well, see, God doesn't, you know, I mean, he isn't a guy with a white beard sitting on a throne. Ha ha. You know, and it's all meant to confuse people. It's all meant, instead of leading leading them in the truth, it's meant to lead them astray. It's meant to confuse them, where their job is supposed to be to make these things more clear.
Well, male and female are two distinct entities, aren't they? Man and woman are. When you think about it, Eve was created from a rib within Adam. So she was created from Adam. And when you look in the womb, a fetus continues to evolve past the female stage to become a male if it has XY chromosomes. It continues to evolve within the womb. The male has within it the seeds of the female is what is actually being said there. So when you're talking about God, you're including both male and female. And if you were just to be talking about God in a female sense, then that would exclude that male part. That wouldn't be there. Plus, you have different things that are associated with male and female. There was a very good Orthodox nationalist on this week. Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson was talking about explaining about these mythic differences between male and female, and the importance of that to antiquity. And this is a large part of why they're doing this. They're trying to cause a break with tradition, a break with antiquity. So they'll start using different language And then they'll claim that they're somehow far more advanced than the people of the past, and that they know better, and that we weren't very good people in the past. And they're effectively saying that the Christians weren't very good people in the past, and they got all of this wrong. And we somehow have to improve upon it now, and we'll improve upon it now by just losing all definition that there is between male and female. Getting back to the article here, the Archbishop of Canterbury, Justin Welby, the religious head of the church, has previously said that God is not male or female or definable. I mean, that's very clever there. Yes, God is transcendent and is beyond our imagination. But all we have to do is look around us at the reflection in the world that he created in order to understand God. And we can see that male and female is a part of the creation. So it's obviously meant to be there. The Archbishop of Canterbury said all human language about God is inadequate and to some degree metaphorical. And he said that in 2018. And yes, that is correct. But people have attempted to describe God. And in the way of doing so, you have to imply that he is male. When you look at male and female and that we're created in his image, yes, okay, there are some creatures where the female is stronger than the male, perhaps spiders are more stronger than the males, the female spiders, but God is not a spider. Man is made in the image of God, and the man has a third more body strength than the woman. You get more geniuses amongst the men than you do amongst the women. When you look at the statistical IQ, women tend to have more of an average IQ, whereas males go much higher and also much lower. And obviously the males have a third more body strength. And what it tells us in the Bible is that the female was created from the male, the rib was taken out from Adam. So if we're trying to describe God, yes, language is inadequate, but we do have these various ways of showing that God is a superior being. And part of that is to imply that he's male. And of course, they've forgotten all about this. All they want to do is promote feminism and gender ideology in the church. The Reverend Ian Paul, a member of the Archbishop's Council of the Church of England, was among those decrying this as a step too far. If the liturgical commission seeks to change this, then in an important way, they will be moving the doctrine of the church away from being grounded in the scriptures, he told the outlet. So we have some common sense, which is being pointed out here. And that's what they're effectively doing, isn't it? They're changing what the scriptures have told us. But this isn't as if this is something new. This has continued for quite some time now. I mean, it started off with when the church was created anyway, the Anglican Church. It was with Henry VIII wanting to divorce and marry more women. So that's why the church was created in the first place. We've gone on from them to legalizing sodomy and then coming out with gay marriage and then coming out with blessings of transgenders. So literally transing God and changing the gender of God to being gender neutral or gender undetermined is just the logical continuation of this. And it is something that has been pointed out for a long time, that this just gets worse and worse. What we're told is progress is more like regress, and we're regressing in our understanding of divinity here. That's what's effectively happening. If we're going to say, well, we don't know what gender God is, I mean, that's a regression in our understanding of the spiritual aspects, I think. Grandpa, what are your thoughts?
Well, and you're at a point where the head of the Church of England isn't even English. I'll just leave that at that. You've really hit on a good point with that, though, Sven, there, your last point, because again, the role of the church is to make these things less confusing. The average person that goes to a church doesn't have time for all of this. This is why people, you know, church leaders, teachers, and whatnot, more or less are supposed to do this full time. They're supposed to do this full time because they're supposed to be learning and praying and studying scriptures, so that their job is to make these things more clear. Now, again, are these people making it more clear or less clear? Well, obviously, they're bedazzling the congregation with bullshit. I mean, I don't know how else to put it. Sometimes other words do not suffice. That is what they're doing. They're making it more confusing, not less confusing. They're sitting here making this whole thing into this big convoluted thing where it just always was taken for granted. It wasn't an issue. It wasn't an issue before, but now you see it's an issue. As far as this quote from the Reverend Ian Paul, well, yeah, it's true, but his name ought to be the Reverend Sherlock Holmes. Like, well, no duh. I mean, we've done several of these stories on the Church of England. I think they just just, oh, well, they just passed a deal as part of their big meeting here that now they're going to bless gay unions, you know, but this isn't marriage. This isn't gay marriage. We're not doing that yet. We're just blessing the unions. Of course, we know what the next step is. It's always this step by step by step by step. So we've seen this so many times. You know, now this guy's saying, well, then they're moving the doctrine of the church away from being grounded in scriptures. I tell you, but that ship sailed a long time ago with this so-called church.
Well, the Reverend Ian Paul, our critic here, stressed that male and female imagery is not interchangeable. And he also said that while claiming the critics were misreading the teachings. He said the use of male pronouns for God should not be understood as implying that God is male, which is a heresy. God is not sexed, unlike humanity. The fact that God is called Father cannot be substituted by Mother without changing the meaning, nor can it be gender neutralized to parent without a loss of meaning. Fathers and mothers are not interchangeable, but relate to their offspring in different ways, he stressed. And I guess maybe some people don't understand that today because they didn't have their father there when they were brought up. There are more and more broken homes now that children are being brought up in with single mothers and with various stepfathers. And it must be very difficult for them to understand this difference that there is between a father and a mother. And it goes back to what I was pointing out earlier about the father being the defender and the provider, and the mother is the nurturer, and God is the provider. And throughout the Bible, he is the defender. He is the creator of everything. I mean, if you change God to being a mother, then you wouldn't be able to get males from the mother, would you? I mean, what you've effectively got there is you got Adam, and the rib is taken out from Adam, so you have like a male. The female is taken from the male. If you were just to have a female, just the XX chromosome, as it were, you wouldn't be able to get a male from that. But when you've got an X and a Y chromosome, you can get both male and female from that. I mean, there are so many parts to this that are just being ignored, with this idea that we must have equality and males are just exactly the same as females. And if that's so, then why wouldn't we neutralize all the gender terminology? And that's one of the reasons why. It's like we're not learning anymore. We're learning less. We're becoming aware of less and less difference between things. You know, that's how you learn about things, is the differences and the minute differences. And what we're trying to do is get rid of all differences and just make everything equal, which is effectively just flattening everything off so that there's no excellence anymore. There's no reaching for the heights anymore. Everything is just flattened off and everything is equal. And this is a part of that, as well as introducing confusion into this, and it's effectively trying to remove all knowledge of there being differences between male and female, because all of these differences come down from above. I mean, I have to point out again, if you're interested in this stuff, do listen to the Orthodox Nationalist this week about male and female and the metaphysical roles and the importance of that. But I am pleased that there is this Reverend Ian Paul, which is pointing this out, that you cannot actually change father with mother without changing the whole meaning of the word God. And it cannot be gender neutralized either to parent, grandpa. What do you make of what's been said here?
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't know. These things should be fairly obvious. They were obvious before. We always come back to, how did we get here? I'm old enough, you know, just a mere 10, 20 years ago, people wouldn't believe if you told them in the year 2000, which was honestly like yesterday to me, if you told them that in the year 2023, this would be a serious discussion in what's supposed to be a major church denomination, people would have shook their heads in disbelief. How did we get here? People have gotten over the years, and this is, you know, over the years, because we didn't just wake up one day and have these, you know, basically what should normally be like outcasts from society all of a sudden are in charge of everything. You didn't just get here. Along the way, this is a failure in church leadership. This is, now we're seeing the results of it. You know, I mean, it's kind of like, it's kind of like when you get cancer. That's a subject that is close to my heart. When you get cancer, you got a tumor growing in you and you don't even know it, until the symptoms get so bad. Now all of a sudden you've got problems, and then you find out you have this big tumor, but that thing's been growing in there for years. This is the same thing. you've had this tumor growing a long time in all of these churches. It's funny. It's not just one denomination, is it? I wonder why that is. You've had this tumor. There's a failure of church leadership over the years, over the decades. I would even argue over the generations. They lost sight of the plot. They lost sight of what their job is. All of this talk about inclusion, I'm going to tell you, one of the roles of church leadership is the opposite of inclusion. It's exclusion. It's excluding people that want to come in and start changing stuff. It's their job to say, no, we're not going to do that. In fact, you're not welcome here. Get the hell out. You know, everybody says, oh, that's shocking. Nobody would say that in a church, but that's what you're supposed to do. And I'm not saying that different people with all these different problems aren't supposed to be ministered to. That's not what I'm saying. They should hear the truth as well. But what I'm talking about is people coming in, and then all of a sudden they're in these positions of authority and they bring other people in who want to change the doctrine. Then you wake up and you've got this unattractive purple-haired person calling themselves a reverend, and they're telling you you've got to change all of this because it doesn't suit them. They were supposed to be kept out. Inclusion. Christianity is not an inclusive religion. Again, for non-believers, that probably comes as news to you because you just see all this stuff from the MCC. Christianity is not an inclusive religion. It's exclusive. It's an exclusive club you're supposed to be in. And part of church leadership is to be exclusive. Again, you can minister to these folks. You know, that's part of what you do. But you exclude them as far as they have a say in anything. As soon as one of them says, well, I really like this church and I like what you're saying and all. And if we could just bring more people in, just do this and let me be head of this committee. And that's when you exclude them and tell them to get the hell out because you see what they're doing. All through the early church, when you go into the New Testament, they warn about these people working their way, even all the way back then. These people would work their way in and start leading everybody off astray, and nothing has changed. What has changed is the failure in church leadership over the years to exclude these people and to root them out and keep the church on the path straight and there. That is their job. There's their job to keep that from happening. And obviously now we wake up today and we have all of these people that have nothing remotely to do with Christianity. And they're running everything. So now, yeah, you're going to have these convoluted discussions about God's gender, which is just stupid. This is a stupid discussion. We're having it because, you know, we have a lighthearted discussion on Fridays and we can laugh about it. And we laugh about it because it's so stupid. It just runs in the face of everything we know, everything in the world around us, everything we witness, just your human nature. You know, even if you're like a complete atheist and you were like, you would sit there and say, well, yeah, but I mean, if God did exist, yeah, I mean, of course, you know, he's going to more have the traits of a male. Otherwise, if he had the traits of a female, the world would just make no sense. The world would make no sense. But we're having these convoluted discussions, see, and we're acting like it's serious. It's all a result of failure of church leadership. The church is supposed to be exclusive. It's not supposed to be including everybody and bringing everybody in, because it turns into this sort of thing that we're talking about here.
If it was a female creation, it would just all be based on emotions. It wouldn't be based on logic. There would be no logos, you know, which was the first thing that was created. You know, Christ was the logos, and that just wouldn't exist if it was a female creation, because logic is not something that women really excel at. They excel at emotions. There's so much to this that is being ignored. Professor Helen King, the vice chairman of the Synod's Gender and Sexuality Group. I mean, what is they even doing? What is the church doing with a gender and sexuality group? Acknowledged that such questions around gendered language and God have been around for decades, if not centuries. Even so, they still have the power to bring out strong reactions, she said. Clearly, God is not gendered, so why do we restrict our language for God in gendered ways? She asked. Well, and really, I mean, you could say, well, it's because she's a woman, the fact that she's asking that. But really, she shouldn't be asking that, because there are centuries and centuries and centuries of Christian philosophy where they went into all of this and they worked out exactly the way that the world was created and exactly what we could tell about our Creator from looking at the way that the world was created. And they defined God as being male. And it is literally centuries upon centuries of Christian philosophy that has already done all of this and already worked all of this out. But she hasn't read any of that. She's just going to ignore all of that, and she's going to look at it and say, well, we have men and women here, so obviously God can't just be male, he can't just be female, so why can't we say he's gender neutral, or why can't we say he's female? And there are all these philosophical reasons why that is not so. And I mean, really, you're talking about the goddess then as well, and the goddess is described as an enemy in the New Testament, and it was one of the ways that the people that were not part of the Israelites, they were worshipping goddesses, they were the ones that gave God a goddess. It was feminism, basically. It was saying, well, if there's a male god, then he's got to, obviously got to have a female partner. Well, no, because God is complete and does not need anything else. So if you're going to start adding a goddess, then clearly God is not a god, because he requires something else there. So all of this comes into this as well, and all of this has already been discussed, and she's just going to completely ignore all of that, and she's just going to look at it in a modern way, well, in a really unphilosophical way, really, and just say, well, God isn't gendered, so why do we refer to him as male? Well, because of all the tradition, and because the church is supposed to be the upholder of tradition, that's why. What do you make of this Professor Helen King, Grandpa?
We went from women shouldn't be allowed to even speak in church to having Helen King, the vice chairman of gender and sexuality group. Do we not see the problem here? I mean, this is, again, over the years, church leadership went from sticking with what was laid out before to we know better now. See, times are different. Things are different. And now you wind up with this gibberish. It's striking the ignorance of these people. Look, understanding the nature of God, which granted we can only grasp in a limited way while we're here in this world. You know, this has been tackled by great philosophical minds for thousands of years. But you see, people like Professor Helen King are so damn stupid. They don't realize that. They're so ignorant of that. They're too lazy to go actually look it up because, you know, obviously the philosophers were all men. They're not going to look or study any of that and maybe get some answers. They think they've come up with something original with this. This is one of the things that's striking about this whole ridiculous conversation this story is dealing with, that the church is tackling as though it's a serious issue. You know, understanding the nature of God has been tackled by great philosophical minds in the church for thousands of years. Then you got people like this pop up and think they have struck upon something new, and they're so ignorant they vomit their gibberish out and think that this is some kind of, boy, they're really, you know, deep thinkers. This is some great deep philosophical thought. Well, it's child level nonsense. They're not going to go back and study. Well, I want to understand the nature of God. That's good. That's part of what you're supposed to do in this life. Let me go back and see with some of these great philosophical minds that really studied this, what they thought about it. And then I might have a greater insight. No, because these people always think they're the smartest one in the room, and history just started today. So they disregard history. They disregard tradition. They disregard the fact that things are tradition and a part of our history or part of the church's history for a reason. You know, because they ring true, and they just try to invent this new stuff because there's no way that they're not smarter than all of these guys that really studied this hundreds of years ago. No way. No. So they come up with this and act like, oh, see, I'm such a deep thinker. I'm this great philosophical mind. I've just struck upon this brand new idea. It's just more and more foolishness.
All they've done really is just go right back to the beginning before all of these philosophical discussions took place, as if they don't exist. The group Women and the Church said that a theological misreading of God as exclusively male is a driver of much continuing discrimination and sexism against women. And the Reverend Miranda Threlfall Holmes also told the UK Times that the view that God is a man had been used to oppose women bishops. There we go. We have a female priest there, and straight away she's saying that the fact that God is male, that's been used to oppose women bishops. Well, Christian tradition has been used to oppose women bishops. It was St. Paul that said that women shouldn't teach. It's the first book of Genesis that said that what woman taught was she taught Adam to eat from the apple from the tree, which Adam was told not to do. I mean, that's the example that you have there, that the whole of Christianity says that man and women, they each have their specific places and they will each find contentment in doing what they are specifically meant to do. They won't be quite happy if they're doing the opposite. And that's really sort of shown here, isn't it? You know, these women have been made into priests, and instead of being happy, they're then wanting to change everything. They're saying they're being oppressed, they're being opposed. They need to change their religion. I mean, she's obviously not content with being a priest. I'm sure she would have been much more content raising 5 or 6 children, maybe 10 children, in a happy family as a mother, rather than devoting her time to trying to do what men have always done in the past. What do you make of this group, Women in the Church, Grandpa?
Yeah, Women in the Church group would have a whole different meaning if I were in charge of it. The thing about God's laws and the natural order is the lie you get told is these things will, you know, are to restrict you and to like make you miserable, but it's just the opposite, and which you've touched on. The more you get in, you know, the more you step outside of that, the more confusion you have and the more basically miserable everybody becomes. We went from one of the founders of the church saying, as you pointed out, that women should not teach, and even saying that women shouldn't actually even speak at all in church because they don't have anything to add to the conversation. We've gone from that. You step outside, and like I say, you go back generations for this, because we didn't just wind up here today just out of the blue. You know, everything's a step-by-step thing, because along the lines, church leaders, the elders of the church, decided we know better. We know better than God's laws. We know better than what the founders of the church years and years and years ago laid out. And we're going to put these women, we're going to wind up with the bishops and reverends that are female. Now, again, all you have to do is look at the results. Are things better? Did that make things better? They sold it by saying, we're going to do this and it's going to make everything better. Okay, they've had this for years. What are the end results? Are things better? Is there less confusion in the church? No, we're having ridiculous debates about things such as this. It observably makes things worse. The lie to sell you on rebellion against God's laws is always that it's going to be better. You know better than God. Church leaders decided along the way that they knew better than God. They knew better than what was laid out. And they put these women in these positions, and now we see the end result, and it's worse for everybody, and it's for sure worse for the congregations that have to attend these miserable institutions.
Yeah, their role is to interpret the teachings, not change the teachings. The plan first emerged after a female reverend asked the commission if there was an update to develop more inclusive language, given that many of the prayers offered for use refer to God using male pronouns. So here is the heart of the problem. You have somebody that's been brought in that actually Christianity said should be excluded from being a priest. So you've got a female priest, and the first thing she does once you get all these female priests in there is she says, can we have an update to develop more inclusive language? Can we change the language from worshipping God to worshipping a goddess? And instead of saying, well, that is a break with tradition here, and we're supposed to be the guardians of tradition, the church has just set up this group to look into it. The commission's vice chair, Bishop of Lichfield, Michael Ipgrave, replied that it had been exploring the use of gendered language in relation to God for several years, and after some dialogue, a new joint project on gendered language will begin this spring, Ipgrave wrote in a formal reply. He should have just said, look, all of this is settled. All of this is settled, and we have all these scriptures to look to prove that all of this is settled. And he should have also pointed out that if you're going to have these women priests, you know, should they not have signed some kind of agreement that they weren't actually going to change things if they were brought in there in the first place? Because obviously that is the concern, is if you start having female priests, then they're going to start changing things, doing things like this, saying that God should be referred to as a goddess instead of as a god. Well, a spokesman for the Church of England stressed that the debate is nothing new, and he said Christians have recognized since ancient times that God is neither male nor female. Yet the variety of ways of addressing and describing God found in Scripture has not always been reflected in our worship. Still, the rep insisted that any changes would only apply to future teachings. Well, it's going to be a little bit difficult for them to make them apply to past teachings, isn't it? He said there are absolutely no plans to abolish or substantially revise currently authorised liturgies, and no such changes could be made without extensive legislation. The Church's Faith and Order Commission, which advises on theology, will work with the Liturgical Commission on looking at questions around gender terms, the spokesperson said. And the Commission's creation follows the recent news that the Church would begin blessing same-sex marriages, although it would controversially still not allow same-sex couples to marry in their churches. Well, that's because marriage is defined as being between a man and a woman in the Bible and in Christian tradition. Yet they're already going to start blessing same-sex marriages. How long is it going to be until they start referring to God as goddess or MX or gender curious, gender queer, LGBTQ? I mean, their argument is if God created man in his image, then that means that God is like whatever of these men that he created. So if he created, they're saying a man was created as a homosexual, that means there must be a homosexual God. But of course, the teaching of Christianity is that homosexuality is something that people learn. It's not something that people are born as. So even that they've changed the teaching from Christianity. I'm just very grateful that we do still have our Bibles and they have not yet been politically corrected, although a lot of the translations are certainly lacking. But we do still have the scriptures that we can go back to, and we also have the things that the Church Fathers said that we can also go back to, which are certainly good for moral instruction and instruction for how to get on in the modern world. Grandpa, what are your final thoughts on all of this today?
Well, I find a certain amount of comfort in the knowledge that these liars and deceivers are all going to hell. This is a lie. This statement, there are absolutely no plans. No plans, you see. Look for the weasel words. There are no plans to abolish or substantially revise currently authorized liturgies. And no such changes could be made without extension. It's a lie. There may be no plans because they know, as you pointed out, how are they going to even reference them once they change the policy? Yeah, there are no plans because they know that's going to happen. You know, just like they said, oh, there's no plans, you know, they're not going to allow same-sex couples to marry. But we know that the steps are already being taken. They continue working you the same direction. It trains everybody to just accept that everything goes in this same direction and this same move. See, they're going to bless same-sex marriages, but they're not going to actually do it themselves. But we all know next year they'll be having the debate and they'll pass it that they're going to do anal marriages as well. It's all in the same direction. But Christian believers should take heart. This is always, like I said earlier, Christianity is an exclusive religion. And you look at the patterns in the Bible from your Old Testament all the way through the New, it's always a remnant. It's always, there's growth and then people fall off and then you have this remnant. It's always just a small exclusive community. So when you know that and you see all of these major church denominations are just falling in line and doing all the exact same thing the world's doing, take heart. This is how it always is. It always winds up with a remnant. Hold on to your faith. This should not tear a real Christian, but this sort of story should not tear down the faith of a true Christian believer. Actually, it should reinforce your faith. Because in the end, this is the way it's always been. There's always going to be a remnant. You always have this sort of corruption because you have people involved. And again, that shouldn't come as a surprise.
We are always going to be tested as well. Well, thank you very much for coming on today, Grandpa. Thank you very much, listeners, for listening. I will be back on Monday with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.